Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now with new hours, open Monday through Saturday 7 until 3 and Saturday 8 until 3, offering a changing menu of French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits and serving lunch sandwiches.
I'm Tom Williams. Thank you for joining me for Access Utah. We're going to review the results of the Iowa caucuses with several political experts on the program today. Of course, we have now finally arrived at votes that count in the nominating process. It seems like this is an endless campaign and becoming more and more endless all the time, but we've now arrived at a series of nominating contests, beginning with the Iowa caucuses. And we've learned a very narrow victory for Mitt Romney, 8 votes over Rick Santorum, both pulling in about 24-25% of the vote, and about 21% of the vote. Ron Paul, the other candidates trailing, and we may have one or two candidates dropping out of the race coming up in the next week or so. Joining me in the first part of the program is Kirk Jowers, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, University of Utah, joins us on the phone. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And in studio is Mike Lyons, USU Associate Professor of Political Science and Interim Department Head of that department. Thanks for coming in.
Pleased to be here, Tom.
Let me start with Mike Lyons. Just your general reactions to the caucuses last night. Any surprises for you?
Not particularly. Iowa is a state with a large evangelical population, and Santorum doing well there was anticipated. I see three different levels on which this can be analyzed. Superficially, Santorum was the winner. Mitt Romney, on a second level, was a winner last night. He did fairly well at Iowa, relatively speaking. That it was not a good state for him. And the opposition to Romney did not coalesce around Newt Gingrich, or is not coalescing. And that was a real risk to Romney 6 to 8 weeks ago. And now, with the opposition more splintered, Romney appears stronger. And I think he's virtually a shoe-in to win the Republican nomination. But I would argue on a third level, the real winner was Barack Obama in the White House. Because, again, as we've seen over a period of months here, there isn't enthusiasm for Romney in the Republican Party. We've had the succession of flavor-of-the-month challenges, Republicans seeming to be almost desperate to find some alternative to Romney. And then when they embrace someone like Herman Cain or Rick Perry or Rick Santorum, ultimately that candidate fizzles out.
So there's an implied assumption there I want to make clear. You don't believe Rick Santorum has legs?
No, I don't believe so at all.
Okay. Let's turn to Kirk Jowers, your general impression from last night.
I agree with about everything he said except for the last part about Obama. Certainly, it was a great victory for Santorum as he worked hard. But you look at it, it's 30,000 votes. He devoted a year of his life to get 30,000 votes. You know, that doesn't win you the mayor's job in Orem. So it's a strange system we have, but Santorum worked it and got what he, the best he could get out of it. Romney did almost nothing this time and won it. Which is a victory for him, but close to irrelevant because Romney is the one guy who can go for all 50 states. And so, you know, he just had to avoid that horrible showing that could really weaken him. And then you've got Ron Paul, who was not able to win it and you know, has no real ability to be the nominee either. So it all seems very much like it's anticlimactic because it does seem like Romney has got this thing wrapped up already. As far as the lack of enthusiasm, if you look back in history, that's kind of the hallmark of Republicans. You know, Ronald Reagan, it took him a while to finally get the nomination, and at the time there was this huge Republican concern about this ex-actor. Was he deep enough to be a great president? George H.W. Bush, the same thing. Even though he'd been the vice president, he gets beat in some early states, and there's this worry about him. Did he really deserve to be president? W. Bush, you know, wins Iowa, then loses by 19 to McCain. So actually, I think, you know, Romney is doing better than the historical expectations. And the fact is the guy really has never dropped below 25%, in spite of the fact that you've got candidates out there trying to, you know, trying to attract the voter.
So I heard you disagreeing with Professor Lyons about the final outcome. If Mitt Romney is the nominee, do you think he beats Barack Obama?
I think he does, and I think the main reason is the latest polls, 88% to 91% of Republicans are saying that they would, you know, gladly vote for Romney over Obama, so he doesn't lose any of them. Independents like Mitt. They like the fact that he's not, he hasn't thrown the ideological red meat out to try to get a little more passion with the Republicans. And then the great X factor for Romney, as long as the economy is the number one issue, he has been number one on that since 2007. You look at the polls, the focus groups, even when it was Romney versus Obama, Clinton and McCain, who do you trust with the economy? Romney always wins that one, and he wins it now. The only danger for Romney really is, you know, if conditions so significantly change that the economy would not be the biggest issue and somehow that would create an opening for Obama.
Professor Lyons, I'd like to follow up with your point about the general election. Say the economy, if we stipulate the economy kind of bumps along the way it is right now, a little bit of improvement, but not much. You still think President Obama wins re-election?
Well, I don't have a high level of confidence in Obama's ability to win the general election. And 3 months ago, I would have said whomever the Republican nominee was likely to be the favorite. So my analysis doesn't differ much from that of Professor Jowers, really. It's just that Obama looks stronger now than he did 3 or 4 months ago. I think the interplay over the payroll tax cut has hurt the Republican Party a little bit. And I'm not convinced that Mitt Romney is a candidate capable of eliciting passionate support. I'm not convinced that he is necessarily capable of winning the support of as many independents as he needs. But certainly the economy is the major consideration here. And if the economy fails to improve, Barack Obama's in a very deep hole. If the economy does appear to be getting stronger and we see a rise in consumer confidence, then I think Obama wins re-election.
We're talking with a couple of political scientists, and we have more to come this hour. We're talking with Mike Lyons, interim department head of the Department of Political Science, Utah State University. Kirk Jowers, University of Utah director of Hinckley Institute of Politics. Still to come, Deseret News columnist LeVar Webb and Frank Pignanelli. And in the last part of the program, from USU Randy Simmons and from BYU Quinn Monson. You're welcome to join this conversation. We're taking a look at presidential politics. Special interest, of course, for Utah with two candidates with Utah ties in the race. And the presumptive front runner, including in that list, of course, Mitt Romney and John Huntsman. The number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495, or you can get an email through to us from our website, upr.org, upr.org. Let's look ahead to New Hampshire. Professor Jowers first with this. John Huntsman has practically lived in New Hampshire for a while now. He's been moving up in the polls there. Do you see a scenario where he could, by doing well in New Hampshire, move forward perhaps to the nomination?
I'm sure Huntsman has, you know, posters of Rick Santorum all over his bedroom right now. Because that's who he wants to be. He wants to be the guy who just devoted his life to one state and it pays off in the end. And that's what happened for Santorum, and that's his dream. The polls certainly don't show that's going to happen, and Romney's support is so broad and so deep there that it's really far more difficult to game than Iowa was for Santorum. So I think he will be disappointed. He could finish third there, it looks like at the moment, if all goes well. But I don't see how that gives him a real ticket out of New Hampshire.
Professor Lyons, anything you'd like to add on John Huntsman?
I agree with Professor Jowers on this. I've never thought that John Huntsman was seeking the presidential nomination for 2012 necessarily. I think he perhaps had aspirations of being selected as a vice presidential running mate, not with Mitt Romney, but if some other candidate had emerged, Huntsman might have been a very logical choice of running mate. And Huntsman might be looking at 2016 nomination. He might be interested in trying to promote himself into a cabinet position. I really like John Huntsman. As a Democrat, he's my favorite Republican candidate in the field, but he has no realistic chance of winning the nomination.
Let's talk a little bit about the process. Some have called this process unfair to other states. Iowa caucuses, the argument goes, Iowa's whiter than the average in the U.S. and more rural. On the other side, a lot of the income levels in the parts of the economy are very average in Iowa. Start with you, Professor Lyons. Is this a fair system? And then we go on to New Hampshire, which is permanently stuck at the first primaries. Are these really representative places?
Well, it's unfair, but everything in politics is unfair. But I it's much worse than unfair. It's absurd. It's preposterous. There are arguments that have some traction. People in Iowa take the process seriously. People in New Hampshire take the process seriously. But these states are unrepresentative of the nation, and to empower them to the degree we do in the nominating process doesn't serve the interests of the nation over the long term. Neither state has a city, has an urban area of any significance. Urban America loses its voice in this nominating process, and other groups of Americans, racial minorities in particular, don't have much voice. You know, they get some voice when Nevada rolls around, and certainly in South Carolina. But it's a process that evolved accidentally, and it's one that I would hope we would change. Mm.
Professor Jowers.
I agree with Professor Lyons. And it goes, as he said, it goes beyond unfair to absurd to damaging in some ways. Iowa even more so, at least New Hampshire, you know, you'll get a much bigger turnout of a broader range of people. So that's nice. And if there is an argument you need retail, New Hampshire is slightly better. Iowa, you know, as I started out with, 30,000 votes. and we have spent so much time on this, and the candidates have spent so much. But even more than that, it's impacted policy. I think I just read that they finally discontinued the ethanol subsidies, $30 billion later. You know, and that was only because of the need for presidential candidates to suck up to a big need, big desire of those Iowa voters.
And all that having been said, it's unlikely any of this changes, I'm guessing.
Amazingly enough, that seems to be true. Everyone outside of those two states kind of realizes it, but it hasn't been changed for decades, and I'm sure, you know, thousands of talk show hosts have had this discussions for the last, you know, 20 years.
Well, I think that there is a prospect for change, and this would emerge from a situation where one party felt that it was severely being disadvantaged by the process. And the Democrats, I think, sort of felt that way after losing two consecutive elections to George Bush. There was a lot of a lot of reflection within the party over why it was nominating the kind of candidates it was nominating, and what the Democrats could do about that. And one party can institute a nominating process that is radically different on its own initiative to address what it sees as a disadvantage that it suffers in the current system. But you know, short of that happening, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what incentive there is.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the movements within the parties or surrounding the parties. Tea Party, how much influence they have or don't have still. Start with Professor Lyons on this. Do you think they still wield a lot of influence
here? I think their influence is gradually waning, and it will continue to wane. You know, historically, we've seen these kinds of populist movements every time there's been a serious economic downturn. It was predictable that something like this would happen. I also think that Barack Obama, being African-American, has contributed somewhat to the Tea Party movement. I wouldn't characterize it as a racist movement by any means. But there are people who are racially unhappy who are affiliated with that movement. And with any luck at all, the national economy will normalize over the over the next decade, and the Tea Party movement will become part of history.
Professor Jowers, I'll get your reaction to that assessment and add this question. Mitt Romney seems to be the favorite of the establishment, but the Tea Party types, very conservative types, want anyone but.
On its surface, that's certainly true. But Romney has been upticking with the Tea Party, and that may just simply be them realizing he's the guy and they're going to need to get behind him to get rid of Obama. But I think it also is that he does have some positions that resonate with them. I guess we'll have to see. South Carolina will be a big test of that, because at that point it should be clear to everyone, even those who haven't been following it for the last year, that he is almost the inevitable nominee. And then we'll see if there is an enthusiasm gap with Romney that some people suspect.
And Professor Jowers, to the more general point, Tea Party, so your prediction, waning over time?
It certainly is waning by all indicators. The intensity, the support, even the kind of more peripheral support that Republicans had for it in 2010, it's all waning, and I think that is probably true. Now it will depend if Obama does win again. You could see it strengthening again. I think if someone like Romney wins, I think you will see them fade into the background a little bit more. They'll still remain a little bit of a force in the Republican Party, but they certainly won't be a driver like they have been for the last couple of years.
And on the other end of the spectrum, we had some members of the Occupy movement show up at caucus sites, I understand, in Iowa. Do you think the Occupy movement will have much of an effect on the election?
Certainly not the Republican nomination. And from what I've seen, the Occupy movement has not been too influential with the independents. And it's the independents that have really been swaying. In 2006 and 2008, they jumped historically to the Democratic cause, but then they jumped back even harder to the Republican cause in 2010. They're very upset with the status quo, and whichever party is seen as in power, they seem to be going against that. And Occupy doesn't really seem to hit the issues or the nerve that it would need to play an impact on the general election.
And demographically, the people in the Occupy movement, if you can call it a movement, are not very likely to be voters, whereas the Tea Party people, being much older, are more likely actually to vote. And that's another reason why I think the Tea Party will have diminishing influence in the future. It is very largely a movement of people over the age of 65. And for that reason, if no other, it'll fade.
Just a last question. We're running out of time for this segment. Start with Professor Lyons on this one. You see any top issues apart from the economy emerging that might be decisive in this election?
Well, a Supreme Court decision on the Democratic Party health care plan is going to be a factor. And if the Republicans can continue to link the approval of that health care plan with the state of the national economy, the job-killing Obamacare plan, I guess, would be the ideal kind of characterization from a Republican perspective, then the Supreme Court thrusting that back onto the agenda could be very detrimental to the Democrats. By the same token, there are always things that turn up. Oil wells blow out in the Gulf of Mexico, terrorists attack. There are always wild cards, and it's hard to foresee what they will be, but certainly there are things that could upset the balance. I would expect the economy to be the overriding issue, though.
Professor Jowers, the economy probably be the overriding issue?
Absolutely, and that should benefit Romney. Foreign affairs is always the thing you lay awake thinking about if you're a candidate or working for a candidate, because, for example, last year at this exact time, essentially between Iowa and New Hampshire, Bhutto was assassinated in Pakistan. By Romney's indicators, he lost 9 points overnight when that happened, and McCain picked up seven. And McCain had the same people had the same poll results because McCain was trusted on foreign affairs more than Romney. Romney was trusted more than McCain on economic matters. So you never know how some strange thing that has nothing to do with the candidates could actually have a real impact on the race.
We'll leave it there. Of course, we'll be talking much more about this. New Hampshire coming up. We're reviewing the Iowa caucuses. And we've been talking with Mike Lyons, Interim Department Head and Associate Professor of Political Science at USU. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tom.
And Kirk Jowers, the University of Utah Director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Following a brief break, we'll continue a conversation with Deseret News columnists LeVar Webb and Frank Pignanelli. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us through the break on Access Utah Today. Of course, we are reviewing the results of the Iowa caucuses and a special emphasis on prospects for two presidential candidates with Utah ties, Mitt Romney and John Huntsman. And we're talking in this segment with Deseret News columnists LeVar Webb and Frank Pignanelli. Thanks to you both for taking the time to be with us today. Let me start with Mr. Webb and then go to Mr. Pignanelli. Just your overall reaction, anything that especially surprised you about the results from the caucuses last night?
Well, it was a fascinating night, and clearly the Rick Santorum came out as a winner. Of course, Mitt Romney did end up with the most votes by the narrowest of margins, but Santorum came on strong at the end, and there was a bit of a surprise. The big question now was whether he can sustain that or whether he was, again, a flavor of the month, and with additional media scrutiny and criticism by his competitors, whether he can maintain that momentum. But he peaked at exactly the right time in order to do well in Iowa, and that gives him some momentum going into New Hampshire, although Romney obviously has a bigger organization and is way ahead in the polls in New Hampshire.
Same question to you, Mr. Pignanelli.
Well, I think, there's some interesting takeaways from Iowa. First of all, for a long time, everyone thought that, Romney's going to come in second. And then towards the end there, the expectations were higher. What a lot of people don't understand is that a lot of these super PACs, their pro-Romney PACs, have been banging away on Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul and Perry and others. And he did not... it had to squeak it out. So it shows that there's a lot of work for Romney to do. The takeaway is, I was one of those sick guys who were watching until the very end. But like the Newt Gingrich, it wasn't even a concession speech. Newt Gingrich is obviously going to adopt the scorched earth policy. He's going to try to take down Romney in New Hampshire, possibly South Carolina. So, between now and then, the New Hampshire, it's going to be an interesting fight, as is that there is a chunk of the Republican Party that just does not want Mitt Romney. It seems like they're going to turn up the heat even more.
Let me follow up with that first with Mr. Pignanelli. It does seem like Mr. Romney has been bumping around 25% for a year. It seems like a year. And seems like the factor there is that he's maybe reached a ceiling, and the conservative wing of the party just wants to find anybody but. Do you think they will?
There's still talk, that they're going to find somebody else to run, but the chances of that happening are slim. The thing about Romney has, he is picking up, more and more of the institutional support, and he has, the one thing that you can't buy at this point is you cannot buy field operations in every state, and Mitt Romney's got field operations in every state, so you still have to predict. It's going to be a long, slogging war for him. But eventually he will be the nominee just simply because he is out there for the last 4 years and he's been doing what needs to be done. But what it does mean is that he could get the nomination, but it's a dispirited Republican Party that is frustrated Obama, the frustrated Romney. So it is fascinating to watch that they just simply, and I think it's not just much to religion. I just think there's something about Romney that is just not connecting with the average Republican voter.
Mr. Webb, do you agree with that? The analysis that Mitt Romney will be the nominee in the end, but that many in the party are not enthusiastic about him.
Yes, I think that's correct. I do think that there is a disconnect with the most conservative elements of the Republican Party. But if you look at the nation as a whole, Romney does well in the national polls with all voters. In fact, he beats President Obama in most of those polls. And he connects well with the Republican Party in general. And so the question will be, if he gets the nomination, will those conservatives vote for him rather than stay home? And I do think that they are highly motivated to beat Obama. And so I do think the Republican Party will rally behind him if he becomes the nominee, because their dislike of Obama obviously is much greater than their dislike of him. And that of course, is what he is counting on, and I think he can be successful that way.
What do you think the effect will be for some of the candidates who did not finish as well as they would have hoped last night?
Obviously, Rick Perry is back in Texas reevaluating his campaign. I wouldn't at all be surprised to see him drop out. I don't think that Michelle Bachmann can keep going very long, and Newt Gingrich will go on. Ron Paul, interestingly, came in third, but a fairly close third, and I think the Romney people would have preferred that Paul come in second, or they even would have been okay had Ron Paul come in first and Mitt Romney second, because everyone agrees that Ron Paul will never be the nominee. But Rick Santorum sort of crashed the party, and that certainly does create a set of more difficult circumstances for Romney rather than having Ron Paul come in second or first.
Mr. Pignanelli, could Rick Santorum, could you see a path for him to become the nominee?
You could. I mean, it's out there. The path is, you know, on Tuesday, you know, you got to figure that Romney's probably going to win New Hampshire, but it's by how much? I mean, the recent polls, as of last night, had him over 40%. But if it's by a much smaller than predicted margin, he goes into South Carolina weaker. I mean, Santorum is not expected to win New Hampshire, so anything he gets out of there is a gimme. If Santorum wins South Carolina and fares well in Florida, which would give him time to set up operations in other states, I mean, there is a path there for Santorum. New Hampshire is really going to be key because, I mean, you have a lot of dynamics going on in New Hampshire. You've got Huntsman up there who has steadily been increasing the polls. He's up between 13 and 15% now, which means he can drain more away from Romney. You've now got this the Gingrich-Santorum forces aligning just to do anything to stop Romney. So there is a path for Santorum. There is. And that's what's going to make it interesting to watch, because Romney's got to figure out a way to start connecting with these folks. Otherwise, he's going to be, he's going to maybe win some of these primaries. But now with the number of states changing their laws, where it's not winner take all, but it's winner, but it's a portion. I mean, you can start having Santorum start racking up delegates and offering a challenge all the way through May.
I think the question for Santorum is whether he is just another flavor of the month and will decline like all the rest did. I mean, there was enthusiasm for Gingrich and Rick Perry and Herman Cain, and they all, under heavy scrutiny, under criticism, they all quickly declined. And is Santorum simply that, or does he have staying power? And that will be the big question going forward. Again, he did peak at the right time, and so he did almost win the caucuses, but will he have staying power? That's the question.
Of course,
Santorum's very last race, he couldn't even win his own Senate seat in Pennsylvania, the state that he talked about loving so much and so forth. So his last race, he was defeated. Can someone who was defeated in his Senate race beat President Obama?
Yes, Mr. Pignanelli, you were saying.
Well, and Santorum has not been subject to any scrutiny. I mean, if the New Hampshire voters didn't know who Rick Santorum was, they're about to find out real quickly, because There's already, whether it's Mitt Romney or Ron Paul, they're going to start blasting away on record and whether he's a true conservative or that type of thing. So Rick Santorum now has to face his own scrutiny.
Let me ask you, how do you think Mitt Romney, the lift or lack of lift from Iowa that he takes into New Hampshire? Polls show him leading in New Hampshire. It's been fairly steady. You've mentioned John Huntsman has been increasing the polls. He's practically been living in New Hampshire. What does Iowa do for Mitt Romney going forward?
Well, Mitt Romney did better than expected a few weeks ago. I mean, a few weeks ago, he wasn't even competing in Iowa. He hadn't spent very much time there and so forth. And had it been Ron Paul or someone else who had started to ascend and do well, it would have fit nicely with the Mitt Romney scenario. But because the Rick Santorum again sort of crashed the party and took all of the acclaim, and so Romney winning Iowa, he does not get the boost that he perhaps would have otherwise had it been someone other than Rick Santorum.
Mr. Pignanelli, a similar question. What do you think, I guess your prediction, do you think Mitt Romney wins New Hampshire?
I think Romney wins New Hampshire, but what I do think happens is that it doesn't settle. If Mitt Romney gets over 50% and just everyone else is just slashed, then the path is very clear for Mitt Romney. But if he wins, but a lot of others have done better than expected, at least as of right now, it creates a muddled future for Romney. So he wins. But the problem, he's got to win big in Massachusetts. Excuse me, in New Hampshire. Otherwise, he's going to face stiff opposition in South Carolina and Florida in January.
The other thing that will help Romney is if the other more conservative candidates do stay in the race, so that they divide that conservative vote. If most of them start to get out and becomes a 2 or 3 person race, then Romney, then the conservatives will king up on Romney, and he will have a more difficult time in future primaries.
What about John Huntsman? He's focused, seems like he's focused all his eggs in one basket, New Hampshire. What does he have to do to be successful going forward from New Hampshire?
I think if he gets, I don't think he'll win first place, but I think if he wins second or a respectable third, kind of like Ron Paul did in Iowa, then I think he may go forward. But the way then becomes pretty difficult for him with lack of money and lack of organization in the other states.
I find Huntsman fascinating. Here's a cat who, because of his personality and intelligence, has done well despite getting crappy advice from his advisors. I mean, Peggy Noonan wrote a great article, one of the most renowned columnists, saying if he had run as a conservative governor instead of as an ambassador, he'd probably be the ultimate competition to Romney. And that's the thing. He really connects well. And, I mean, and you figure he really has done a great job on one-on-one there. And hopefully for him and for his family, he can figure out I think he's gonna do fine in New Hampshire. But he's going to have to start connecting to the place, especially Florida and things like that. And he's got to figure out that he has to – if they let Huntsman be Huntsman, he's going to do well. And they're going to let him run as a conservative governor because they all like what he has to say about China and things like that. But that's what they're looking for, the hunger for, is as a conservative manager. And he should be learning more on what he accomplished here in Utah. He's going to have to do well in New Hampshire for him to be able to. He probably won't compete that much in South Carolina, but for him to start sticking claims down in Florida.
We just have a couple of minutes left in this segment. We all focus on the horse race aspect of this. Of course, that's important because the determines who is the eventual nominee and the eventual president. But what issues are you focusing on? What issues do you think will have traction going forward among the primary voters and then the general election?
Well, the thing that unites the Republicans is their dislike of Obama and his policies. And so clearly the typical conservative issues as far as the Republican primaries go about balanced budgets and that sort of thing, a tax system that reduce taxes and reduce spending and so forth, I think those will be the issues that the Republicans continue to focus on and the change that the Republicans want to see in the country. But Obama is the big issue for Republicans.
If Ron is the nominee, it will be a very, let's be honest, you're going to have two very, in some ways, aloof figures running for president. And it's going to be very much on who has the, and then they're going to be tearing each other down. So at the end of the day, while there's the economy will be an issue, but also there's going to be both parties going to be saying, who do you best relate to? And that's going to be very difficult because I think people generally like Obama. The majority of Americans dislike what's happening in administrations, whereas with Romney, they may like his experience, but unless he changes how he does things, they're not going to be able to connect with him. And so it may be what the American public may do, what the Republican Party seems to be doing now, which is holding the nose. And the problem is that if you win the nomination because your party held your nose, it doesn't give you the fire in the belly for your core support to come out. So that's going to be Romney's challenge. How do I get them from holding their nose to actually taking a big whiff and appreciating what I am?
Very good. We'll leave it there. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about this. A special interest, of course, for Utah and the West because they're two candidates. Utah Ties. We're talking about John Huntsman and Mitt Romney, of course. We've been talking about this with Deseret News columnists Frank Pignanelli and LeVar Webb. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next segment, we'll be talking with BYU's Quinn Monson and USU's Randy Simmons. We'll continue our discussion with a special focus on the Mormon questions. And we're all focusing on those, of course, with two Mormon candidates in the field. That's coming up following a break.
Support for Access Utah comes from S&E Needham Jewelers in historic downtown Logan. Since 1896, specializing in diamond engagement rings and custom jewelry design. Middle of the block at the sign of the clock. Information at seneedham.com.
Thanks for staying with us. In our last segment today, we do turn to the Mormon question. We'll get general reactions to the Iowa caucuses from our two guests in the segment, but concentrate on politics and religion. Of course, this is taking a front seat with two Mormon candidates in the race. Iowa caucuses, if you have been living in a cave perhaps over the last 24 hours, Mitt Romney eked out a narrow win, 8 votes, in fact. I would imagine that's the narrowest ever in the Iowa caucuses over Rick Santorum. And so you have really essentially a couple of winners coming out of the Iowa caucuses and Ron Paul finishing a close third. The other candidates now evaluating their campaigns. And in this part of the program, to finish, we have with us on the telephone Quinn Monson, Assistant Professor of Political Science and Associate Director of the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy. Professor Monson, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
And in studio, filling in for Randy Simmons, who we announced, is Ryan Yonk, who is Assistant Professor of Political Science at Southern Utah University, and back in his old stomping grounds, I think, for visits and some other work. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Tom.
Should mention that if you find Ryan's voice familiar.
It's hauntingly familiar, perhaps.
You've probably heard him over on a rival station, KVNU, the commercial station in town, on their program For the People. You were on with Tom Grover for several years.
Several years, and so now I'm back on, I feel like I'm at the enemy station is what it feels like.
And in a segment of Where Are They Now, you've gone on, obviously, to get a doctorate in political science.
Right.
And Tom Grover has got his law degree, and you said was in Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, he's practicing law in Vegas. He's a trust litigator in Vegas. Yeah. Is where he's ended up. So.
Okay. Well, with that bit of a parenthetical, where are they now a bit, we'll return to politics. Just general reaction. Let's start with Professor Monson. Your general reaction to the Iowa caucuses. Anything that really stood out to you?
Several things. One, just the stunning closeness of the race. I stayed up quite late last night, and I think I fell asleep with my computer on my lap when Santorum was up by 4 votes. And I don't think they added more than 50 or 100 votes to the total. And Romney's come out ahead. I think it's a big deal for Romney to have done so well this time in terms of his overall finish. But the striking thing for me is that he really didn't get more votes or a higher percentage than last time. What's different this time is the context and the number of other candidates that divided the not Romney vote in a way that allows him to claim victory.
Hmm. Do you think that highlights his vulnerabilities, though, that they're looking for anybody but Romney?
In some ways, I think there's been a number of polls out that suggest that that there's a lot of voters who didn't have him as their first choice but are okay with him moving forward, that our history has shown that Republicans will coalesce around a nominee. So if he manages to hold on and get the nomination, he'll generate a lot of support from Republicans who may have been reluctant at first. But the advantage that he has is a strong dislike among Republicans for Barack Obama. And they'll see him as a better alternative, even if they have to hold their nose.
Mm-hmm. Professor Yonk, is that going to be the number one issue, do you think, the electability issue?
Yeah, potentially. I think that's the case. I think, for me, the thing that comes out of Iowa is sort of the stunning fall apart of Rick Perry's campaign, that it appears that, from all indications, he's returning home to Texas, essentially, to figure out how to cease trying to be the president of the United States. And the other thing is to look at the map that came out of Iowa, where Romney managed to actually be the leader and where he was not, and where Santorum did much, much better. There's a real heavy rural-urban split among the counties in Iowa, or suburban-urban split, that Romney did well in the more densely populated areas, and Santorum tended to do a lot better in the more rural areas. And that potentially speaks to some of that electability if there are real differences in the Republican caucus-goers between the two.
Before we head over to issues about the Mormonism question and religion and politics, the intersection there, Professor Monson, looking ahead to New Hampshire just a week away now, what do you see as the major factors? And do you see Mitt Romney coming out as the winner?
Oh, absolutely. He couldn't have done better than to be in a tight race with Ron Paul and Rick Santorum going into New Hampshire, because I don't think either of those candidates play well with New Hampshire voters. So Mitt Romney is poised to have a big victory in New Hampshire in a week. There's no reason that Rick Santorum should gain on him at all in New Hampshire. He's not the kind of candidate that New Hampshire is going to be disposed toward. I think what Romney needs to be nervous about is South Carolina.
Mm. And what do you see happening there?
Well, I see Rick Santorum doing quite well in South Carolina, and I see Newt Gingrich doubling down. He's angry and bitter about what happened to him, and I think he's going to head to South Carolina and unleash a string of negativity that has potential to do some damage. So I think Romney has to sort of steel himself for what's coming in South Carolina, but I don't think New Hampshire is the worry.
Professor Yonk, the wrath of Newt, it appears that's coming. Do you think that will have an effect, especially in South Carolina?
I think South Carolina is a place where negative campaigns tend to occur. I mean, they come in a point in the cycle where you begin to have some separation among the candidates. Newt clearly is angry. I don't know any other way to say it. Watching him sort of concede Iowa. It's interesting to have somebody way down the list give a concession speech, but there was some vitriol, and most of that's pointed right at Mitt Romney. So I'd expect South Carolina is going to be a nasty battle in the coming weeks. And as far as New Hampshire goes, I think Quinn has it almost exactly right. That in fact, that's Romney. It was always where Romney was going to do really well early in the primaries, and Iowa just happens to be an added bonus for his campaign. Mm-hmm.
South Carolina, I think, is a good segue to talk about the religion question. This has definitely got a lot of media play here in Utah and around the country. I suppose Mormons look at this good and bad, with two Mormon candidates and one the potential front runner, or the, I guess, the current front runner, potential nominee in Mitt Romney being Mormon, starting with Professor Monson. Do you think evangelicals will ever warm up to a Mormon candidate?
Oh, I think some of them already have. I think some of them never will. There's a lot of diversity among evangelicals in terms of their openness to Mormons. I think many Mormons, especially in Utah, think of evangelicals a bit too narrowly in that regard. But I think there's a fair number of evangelicals that have no huge issues with voting for a Mormon and will have no problem supporting Mitt Romney. And so it is a problem, I think, for Romney as a nominee moving forward. I don't think it's going to cause him much more of a problem in the primary. I think he's going to seal up New Hampshire, do well enough in South Carolina, and steamroll to the nomination at this point. The problem is going to be motivating some of these evangelicals to turn out in the general election. Karl Rove famously commented after the 2000 election that he thought that upwards of 4 million evangelicals failed to show up in the 2000 election for George W. Bush. And George W. Bush was one of their own, right? Very, very clearly tied to evangelical Protestants. And he failed to get them excited in the 2000 election. So if George W. Bush has that kind of problem, I think Mitt Romney potentially has a big problem as well. And in a close election, that could really matter.
Do you agree with that, Professor Young?
Yeah, I think so. Although I guess I view the evangelical problem, if you will, for Mitt Romney as a little more pronounced. I think that one of the questions his campaign has got to be sort of focused on is, you're not, for a certain segment of the evangelical Christian population, you're never going to get them to warm up and like Mitt Romney. The question you have to get to is, can you get them to turn out to vote Republican and essentially hold their nose and vote for Romney because they have this antithetical view of President Obama and continuing with him in the White House? And if they can figure out how to walk that tightrope, not alienate them, actually get them to turn out regardless of whatever concerns they have, then he stands to do really well. If not, you have a problem. And so they've got to figure out how to do that without pushing them away in the next couple of months. Mm. And that's going to be tough for Romney's campaign. Mm. He's tried to do it before and had some struggles in his last presidential campaign.
Let me start with this one with Professor Yonk. Do you think that there has been progress, if you see it from the point of view of the LDS Church or anyone who wants to see plurality of acceptance in terms of intersection of politics and religion from 2008 to 2012 with one and now two Mormon candidates? Do you think there's been progress there or not?
I think in one sense, yeah, there's been a fair amount of progress. It's certainly, there's more of an expressed willingness that segments of the Republican Party are becoming less concerned about a Mormon candidate. I think that's sort of clear. Although there's, in the intervening time, we've spent a lot of time talking about the Republican nomination. I think there's actually been a greater reluctance on the Democratic side, especially since Prop 8 and all of the stuff that surrounds that, where now, as we get into the general election, if Romney becomes the nominee, he's going to have some struggles with crossover voters that he may not have had based on religion in the previous election had he been the nominee. So I think there's been some progress, and I certainly think more knowledge is always better for the political process in terms of what's going on. Is it having a nominee that's a Mormon is certainly something that would end up being, I think, a net positive for the LDS Church and the LDS community.
Mm. Professor Monson, do you see progress there?
I see potential for progress. I see an onslaught coming probably at some point during the summer when at some point Romney will very likely seal up this nomination. And I don't think Barack Obama or his campaign will directly raise religion, but some surrogates will. And they'll do it very artfully, but in a way that will be designed to pull away these crossover voters that Ryan just talked about. And the way that they'll do it is that they'll raise questions about Romney's ties to Mormonism and the Mormon Church's troubled history on questions of gender and race and other things. So there's plenty of material there if you go, especially the further back in time that you go. And these things are relatively easy to bring up for a surrogate. You make some controversial statement. The campaign distances, the Obama campaign will distance itself from it, but then it's in the public record and it gets debated and talked about. And you have independent women and so on that would be inclined to support a moderate Republican like Romney, but that will get very nervous if they perceive that he's got some trouble on issues of race and gender. And that's exactly how it'll go. I think we'll see. Well, if you're a faithful Mormon, you'll be very uncomfortable with the kind of news you're going to hear this summer.
We just have about a minute left, or half a minute. You agree generally with that, Professor Young?
Yeah, no, I think that's. I think it certainly is going to be coming, and I do think that because up until Prop 8, I would have said that it was more likely that a Democrat could be nominated, a Mormon Democrat could be nominated. But with the awareness suddenly now, given some of the actions of the Mormon community in regards to Prop 8, it'll be more free for those on the left to come after them. And so I think we're going to see a fair amount of negativity over the summer.
We'll keep an eye on that. And, of course, we'll probably be talking about that here on Access Utah. We've been talking in this part of the program with Ryan Yonk, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Southern Utah University. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
And with Quinn Monson, who is Assistant Professor of Political Science and Associate Director of the Center for Study of Elections and Democracy at Brigham Young University. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to Access Utah. By the way, tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking about Cache Valley air quality. Some people think the issue has become too partisan. We'll talk about that and air quality itself and what can be done. That's tomorrow's program. Thanks for listening.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1 88.7 Moab, and KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan.